Now, The Athletic reported the Mets recently met with Tanner Scott. Do you like him as a bullpen piece for the Amazons?
I like him as a bullpen piece for just about anybody, especially the Mets. This guy was one of the hottest commodities at the trade deadline for a reason. We know exit velocity. How hard do players hit the ball off the bat against the pitcher? 84.3 miles an hour last season. That was the best in Major League Baseball. He also upped his fastball run value. That means his fastball became better at preventing runs. He was in the 95th percentile. The one knock he does have against him, his walk rate did go up last season, up from 7.8% in 2023 to 12.2%, but he induces ground balls. He's great in pressure situations. I love the Mets meeting with him.
All right, we're back. So everybody's getting excited about the Mets at the top of the bullpen market. And, oh, Tanner Scott. And look, Tanner Scott had a really good year, and he's been good the last couple of years for San Diego after he was traded away from Miami. And he was really good with Miami, when he was there, all-star in 2024. But the Mets' solution to their bullpen, and it is clear, and in a lot of ways I understand it, Tanner Scott fills that. So I said at the beginning, and you say, Mike, you know, how can you not like Tanner Scott? And at the beginning of the offseason, I said it clearly. The Mets have this elite closer, Diaz, which I'm confused about. I thought we turned a corner in 2022. He had the elite season. I knew it never would be that good. But post-injury, you know, patella injury last year, wasn't good against lefties, seemed to struggle when he had runners, when he came out with runners on base, was wildly inconsistent with his command, especially against left-handers, which he always dominated. And, you know, he got big outs in the postseason. I mean, we remember the Schwarber strikeout, but he was shaky. I mean, he's a guy that within the inning, he looks bad, and you're like, oh, God, oh, God. And then he looks dominant. And there's all that in between. And maybe Alvarez is his whisperer, who knows. But anyway, Alvarez is far from Mariano Rivera as a closer. Of course, who is? I mean, even Trevor Hoffman, who's a Hall of Famer, had plenty of botched saves in big games. That was always kind of his knock, that he wasn't Mariano. So nobody's Mariano, and that's always at the position, and especially in this town, you're always going to be compared to the Babe Ruth of closers. There's nothing we could do about that until somebody throws him off the mantle, and I'm not sure that's going to happen in our lifetime here. At least maybe not mine, maybe yours. So I understand that, but... And does Tanner Scott solve the problem with getting a second option to Diaz? He's left-handed. The Mets are short on left-handed pitching. So, yes, I understand that. He does. But here's what I'm going to say about Tanner Scott. And here's what I'm going to say about where I'd like to see the Mets go on the bullpen. I would like to see if the Mets, and I know they have three, I think right now they are 37 on the 40-man. They have about three spots left. Now, there's always an opportunity to make some room on the 40-man by trading somebody or designating somebody who's on there. That could happen. But assuming they sign a bat, Alonzo, and they go out and, you know, they get a bullpen arm or two bullpen arms, that pretty much brings you to 40-man on the roster. And I'd like to see them go out and get a couple. Now, I don't think the Maytons and the Stanics, guys like that, are necessarily going to be where I'd go first. I thought they were really good for the Mets, but I thought that they were sixth and seventh inning guys that were miscast in their role. Tanner Scott, as good as he's been out of the bullpen, if you go to Fangraphs and you go to last year, he wasn't even a top 10 reliever in value last year on Fangraphs. He still walks a ton of guys. And it was only a couple of years ago, not that long ago, where he was a below league average pitcher closing games for Miami. I think Mets fans were, you know, remember big home run by Lindor off of him. It wasn't like he was playing at a championship level. He was barely a positive wins above replacement. I think he was 0.1 that year. And now he's gotten a lot better in the last couple of years. And as he gets into his late 20s, sometimes lefties mature late. But this idea that there are fans out there advocating for the Mets to bring him in on a four-year, $20 million per deal, give him the same kind of money that Diaz got. Look, $20 million a year for a closer is insane. Diaz was right place, right time. Not only did he have a career year, he had an unhittable second half, and he had that off the field with Timmy Trumpet's mojo going, and his stuff is electric. I mean, it will always amaze me how anybody ever hits him. I mean, that's been my position on Diaz since the start, since the day he came here and the up and the down. And I will say, and I'll continue to say this, I give him a ton of credit. This is a guy that could have shied away from New York, could have hightailed out of here. I'm sure there was somebody else that was going to give him a big contract after 2022. But even when things are down, he takes the heat. You know, sometimes he annoys me where it's like, ah, oh, you know, I got to execute or, you know, but he's there. He's taking the accountability. Like, fix it. I'm like sitting there going, fix it, fix it. But at least he's sitting there facing the music. There is no world after I just went through the concerns with the CBA in a couple of years, the tax, how hitters fall off the cliff, that you're going to go out and you're going to pay a guy that hasn't even been a top 10 closer. I mean, at least Diaz has been the top at the position or top five in the position at various points throughout his Mets career. Tanner Scott had a really good run with the San Diego Padres and Miami Marlins. Really good run. That's a recipe for overpaying for a guy on a small sample size success. So now if Scott comes to you, and I know Jeff Hoffman, who actually was statistically better out of the bullpen in Philadelphia. Now, I don't know if Toronto's going to try him as a starter. They didn't really talk about that after he signed this weekend, but he got $11 million a year, 3 years, $33 million. To me, that is reasonable for a non-closer. Now, Scott, you have to pay a little bit more to justify the fact that he's a closer that's coming here to be Diaz's co-captain, perhaps, or setup man. I mean, really, if you get the both of them, you could really figure out what high leverage spot in the game you could use them. I mean, that ultimately is where bullpens are going. I really think the closer has the ninth inning, and I'm not so sure Diaz is ready for this, because that's a whole other story altogether. And that's, again, not something I'm getting to today. I think eighth, ninth inning is where, if you have multiple options out of the bullpen, you start to look at what the best matchups are. You got the teeth of the Dodgers order. You maybe want to go, especially if it's Freddie Freeman and Shohei Ohtani, you may go with a Tanner Scott versus Diaz. You know, somewhere along those lines. So, I get that. So maybe if you want to say, hey, I'll give you $15 or $18 million a year for 2 years, maybe I could see that happening. But no way I give a long-term deal to Tanner Scott. As a matter of fact, and I know that these are less sexy options, there are two names on the market that I really like. Now, neither of them are left-handed, but Kirby Yates and David Robertson. And I really am in favor of the Mets going back and implementing their 2023 plan, which was to have Diaz and David Robertson close out ball games. And what I like David Robertson, even though he's entering 40-year-old territory, is that he is so dominant against left-handed pitching, even as a righty. He's at had a 145 batting average against lefty. So he's a guy in an era where if I had him up against Ohtani and Freeman and Betts, and you have the lefty, righty, and I'm just using that as an example, I have no problems with him being the guy. I think he can get lefties out. I'm not afraid of him against Kyle Schwarber. I'm not afraid of him against Bryce Harper. I'm not afraid of him against Matt Olson. I'm not afraid of him against Freddie Freeman. Now, the walks sometimes are high, but those were managed. And he does go into slumps. We saw that. I think part of his issue when he's here with the Mets before he went to Miami is they had to overuse him because Diaz was out. Buck had to overuse him. And then he got bad, and then he got good, and then he got sent away. Now, I don't know how the Mets feel and David Stearns feels about him. That was a Billy Epler move. Yates is a guy that has had a lot of injuries, but has had, when he is healthy, it is dominant. And to me, you bring a couple of those guys in. I mean, that's like bringing in two closers. And Yates was really good. You got yourself locked down nine outs. And I really believe with the way this Mets starting rotation is going to go, and who knows what Clay Holmes is going to be, because Clay Holmes is a guy that you have to hope, and the plan is to make him a starter. So you don't want to go in and build a bullpen with the assumption that he's going to fail and become Diaz's co-closer. It's a rotation that I think at times during the, especially during the regular season and probably during the postseason when you start to out counting in more matchups, I don't think they're going to go much more than six innings. You know, maybe Manaea goes into the seventh, maybe Peterson, but right now as the Mets rotation is constituted, I mean, I don't think Clay Holmes is going to go deep into games. I don't think Kodai Senga might not because of the pitch count. Frankie Montas, not so sure. Blackburn, I don't know if he's a guy you want third time around the order. And I haven't even gotten into Tyler McGill and whether Jose Buto is an option. I mean, there's a lot of different things going on over here. So, you know, look, the Mets have some arms in the bullpen here. They've got Reed Garrett. They got Denleal Nunez. I don't know what his health status is. Sean Reed Foley is always a tease because he can't stay healthy, but he could be good. Danny Young, he just drives me nuts. That energy, so nervous energy. But he's a good lefty out of there with elite advanced metrics. Just don't trust him in a high-leverage big spot. And then who knows what this Griffin Canning can do, what they vision him with his repertoire coming out of the pen, if that's it. And we haven't even talked about the kids here that either could maybe supplement in the bullpen if they're not going to be in the rotation, the Blade Tidwells and stuff like that. So Brandon Sprouts, what have you. So to me, I would rather than go bananas on a Tanner Scott, depending on where his market's going. I really like Robertson and Yates. I really like both of them. I really like the Mets to sign two guys. But if you told me there's one guy out of the pen to sign, knowing Stearns is not going to want to go multi-years, knowing that there's probably going to be somewhat of a fungibility to the bullpen. He's going to want to play around with it like a chemistry experiment throughout the season like he did this past year. Robertson's really the way to go because if you sign Scott to a multi-year big dollar deal and he comes here and he's bad, what are you going to do? You're kind of stuck. See, if Robertson's on a one-year deal and he's not who you think he is, you know, it's a lot easier to move away from that. Now, I don't know what the Mets think about Scott, what their analytics team thinks about him, but I just think he's by far one of the more overrated free agents. He's the kind of pitcher, the kind of reliever that has a big year, gets a big contract, and then you spend 3 or 4 years saying, what the hell did I do here? Really. It really is. So, to me, I don't know if they would sign two arms. I don't know if that $10 or $11 million that Hoffman got is kind of the ballpark for a Yates or a Robertson falling into that range. I don't know what kind of closing opportunities either one gets. They might get paid a little more to close, maybe even for a mid-team, so to speak. Do they want to come and win and play for a championship? I mean, he went to Atlanta, and he was pretty good in 2023, you know, setting up for them. I mean, he's a guy that, again, at 37, with all his injuries, he's not going to get a multi-year deal. And he had a renaissance season. He had probably his best season, or one of his best seasons of his career, pitching for Texas last year. I mean, the last time he was this good was with San Diego in 2019. That's a long time ago. Robertson, to me, other than that pit stop in Miami where he wasn't so good, and I always blame that on just, we always talk about deadline deals and how deadline deals, when guys get uprooted from their routine and their families midseason, you just don't know how that's going to play into the psychological aspect of how they perform. He was bad in Miami, and you know, maybe part of that was the overuse in New York. Who knows? Because he got traded midseason from Chicago to Philly the year earlier, and he was really good for the Phillies as they made the postseason and actually, you know, made it to the World Series with Robertson. So that's how I feel about the bullpen. I think as the offseason really comes to a close here, and I think we're going to start to see things, and I said this last week when we took a step back and did a little in the vault or, you know, Mets history segment. I feel like the offseason now is in this two-week span where it's going to get really busy between now and maybe the 25th or 26th of January. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, I think Pete Alonso is one of those pillars that needs to fall. You know, maybe Tanner Scott is one in the bullpen, so to speak. But I think the Mets fans who are worried as they sit back and see nothing happening, this is a chess match. This is a financial game. This is big dollars. These aren't just dollars today. These are dollars 5 years down the road. And it makes me laugh is for all those years we complained that the Mets were an organization on the Wilpons that always took things one piece at a time. They didn't look forward. They didn't multitask. They're doing all those things now. And I think people are upset about it because they're not getting the news cycle type of splash that maybe helps you during those cold winter days when you miss baseball. So that's where I'm at. We'll probably dive more into this at Beyond the Mic. I'll dive a little bit more into the bullpen situation at Beyond the Mic. But I am more in favor of staying away from a big fish like Tanner Scott. I like David Robertson. I like Kirby Yates. I like both those guys. I would love to see if they could bring both those guys in. It would solidify. If you want to go out and maybe bring in a Stanek or a Maton, you know, maybe on a prove-it minor league deal and say, look, I don't have a 40-man roster spot right now, but I could probably find one for you in spring training if you so desire. You know, maybe that's an option too. I have a bunch of trash or treasures to get to you guys, so I know there's some interesting bullpen piece arms from the left-handed perspective coming over that right now may have to earn a spot on the rotation, but that's also up there, so to speak. So I'm not really worried lefty-righty, especially because if you look, you know, I talked to you about Robertson when he against, you know, left-handers and how they hit about 140. And he's always been good against left-handers. But, you know, even Yates last year, lefties hit 081. I mean, Yates is a guy. I mean, if you bring in Yates and Robertson, I don't care about the side of that they throw on. They're really good against lefties. They're elite. That's elite. You could smother pretty any big lefty bat. Bring me Bryce Harper on against Yates or Robertson. Bring me Freddie Freeman. Bring me Kyle Schwarber. Bring me Matt Olson. You know, I feel better based on what I saw last year with these guys than Diaz right now. And Diaz used to be, and if Diaz finds himself, no lefties are getting comfortable at bats in the late innings against anybody out of that pen, out of those three. So we'll see where it goes. You know, that's all I have for you. Hope you enjoyed this latest edition of the Talking Mets podcast. Of course, next week, you know, who knows what the new cycle is going to bring. Regardless, we're going to have a Hall of Fame show. I always reveal my ballot. I like to talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame and the debate and who's on the ballot for the first time. And obviously, we always get into that. Not going to get into that now, but stay tuned for that. There'll be more Beyond the Mic, another Trash or Treasure in our series of, that's our annual offseason series. Now, Trash or Treasure, all these little scrappy pickups that, you know, non-roster invitees, and maybe even if they get a roster spot, what can they produce? There's a couple of interesting ones coming up on the next edition here, but stay tuned, whether it be on X, at Talking Mets No G, at the Substack, on the podcast, tons of Mets content coming for you here. In the dead of winter, we don't take a break here at the Talking Mets podcast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to this latest edition of the show. You can check me out, of course, all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. You get me on X at Talking Mets No G, and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at talkingmetspodcast.com. No G, Mike Silva at talkingmetspodcast.com. You can get me on Instagram, Talking Mets No G, and I'd love for you to subscribe to the newsletter, Less Than a Cup of Coffee, every month, substack.com/@talkingmetsnog. And I want to thank the good folks on the Fan Sided Podcasting Network for supporting this show. I'm your host, Mike Silva. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. We'll be back with another Talking Mets podcast next week. Till then, take care, everybody.